Well, our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 31 through 37. If you're able, please rise again for the hearing of God's holy word. And we read it in Jesus' name. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers in his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue and looked up to heaven. He sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. Lord, we thank you for your word, because your word is truth. Lord, thank you that your word is not just some book filled with words, but that it is your word, that it is living and it is active. Lord, that it works and it never returns void. And so today we only ask that you would do what you have promised, that your word would work in our lives and in our minds and in our hearts. Lord, show us our sin and bring us to repentance. And Lord, point us to Christ and strengthen our faith in him. Lord, strengthen us, we pray, for your service. Amen. You may be seated. So you probably all know this about me already, but one of my favorite movie series of all time is Star Wars. Do we have any Star Wars fans today? I'm not seeing as many fans as I hoped for. Maybe this illustration is going to make no sense. Well, while Gretchen was in Salt Lake City, I've been watching through the original trilogy again, the one that came out in the 70s. I didn't quite get finished with it because my kids, they wake up so early in the morning, I couldn't stay up and watch movies long enough to get it done, but we'll get it done. But I've been reminded that my favorite thing about the Star Wars original trilogy is actually the storyline. It's really a classic tale, right? We have a kid from humble origins, right? He doesn't even know who his parents are. He's just got his aunt and his uncle. There's really nothing special about this kid, Luke Skywalker. And he gets called into this epic battle. He goes through trials and tribulations. He has failures. He overcomes things. And he ends up growing and getting stronger and becoming this amazing, powerful warrior for good. And in the end, he ends up victorious. I also love that the tale of Star Wars is a tale of redemption. You see, we have Darth Vader in Star Wars, the man in black, kind of evil incarnate. He has turned to the dark side, and he's the great warrior for the forces of evil. But at the end of the movie, he turns from the dark side and destroys the Emperor to save his son, who was Luke Skywalker, even though it costs him his own life. As an adult, I appreciate this story because it's a classic tale of a hero, and it's a wonderful tale of redemption, and good and evil are so clearly defined. But as a kid, I loved the movies because epic spaceships fighting, right? You have X-Wings, Y-Wings, you've got the Millennium Falcon, you've got Star Destroyers, you've got not one but two Death Stars in three movies. That's amazing for a kid. Maybe the coolest part of all these space battles was the sound, right? You've got the blasters on the ships. You've got the turbo lasers. You have the sound of proton torpedoes. You have ships exploding. Anybody who loves the series will remember that classic scene when Han Solo and Chewie come in and shoot the TIE next to Darth Vader. And he, you know that one? Not off into space. Incredible. But there's a problem with this. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, and it's probably going to ruin your day if you hadn't. But those space battles happened in space. And space is a vacuum, and in a vacuum, there's no sound. As awesome as those sound effects are and as exciting as they make the movie, if we were going to make it more realistic, we should mute our TVs every time you see space. Can you imagine how boring it would be if we did that, though? When I'm reminded that that those sounds wouldn't have been real in Star Wars and that space is actually silent, it often brings my mind back to something else, not Star Wars related, but something biblical. The account of creation in Genesis chapter 1. I think of that simple phrase when God said, "Let there be light." And I begin to wonder how that happened. Sound travels through solids, through liquids and gases, but doesn't travel in a vacuum. But solids, liquids, and gases had not yet been created. There were also no ears to hear the voice of the Lord, and even the light that God was calling into existence did not yet exist. God spoke. There was nothing to carry his voice. He spoke to something that didn't exist, and yet when he spoke, what he commanded happened. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. This reminds us that God's word has power and authority that exceeds our understandings. See, very often we take the power of the Word of God for granted. How often do we actually consider that light and air and water, the earth beneath our feet, gravity, and everything else exists simply because God says so? In the book of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit inspired the writer to say this: long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Through him also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And also by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. You see, the Bible makes it very clear to us that this universe that we live in exists because of the power of the Word of God alone. Now, in the Gospel of John, it begins by telling us that the Word of God took on human flesh and dwelt among us, that he did so to make us sons of God. The Holy Spirit inspired John to pen these words, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And also to all who receive him and believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. These words teach us that Jesus is the very Word of God in human flesh, who has come to make us adopted children of God. In our sermon text this morning from Mark 7, we hear even more about the power of God's word in human flesh. In Mark 7, we find that Jesus has been traveling around Tyre and Sidon, and if we read the rest of the chapter, we would also find that he was working through the region of Decapolis. That means that Jesus is not in Israel. He's in Gentile territory. And in that Gentile territory, we find him performing two miracles. First, he casts out a demon from the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. And then we have our miracle where he heals the man who was deaf and mute. These accounts tell us that Jesus' mission from the beginning was not just to save the Jews, but to save the Gentiles also. And the second of these signs, Jesus, who is the Word of God, shows us that his Word is still able to command something that did not exist. The man's hearing, it didn't exist at all. He couldn't hear at all. And yet when Jesus spoke to him and he said, "Ephphatha, be opened," his ears were opened and his tongue was released and he spoke plainly. In the beginning, God spoke to the light that didn't exist and it came into being. And in Mark 7, God spoke to hearing that didn't exist and it came into being. The really incredible part of this miracle is that Jesus didn't just restore the hearing of this man. If he had restored the hearing of the man, he would have had to listen to people speak for a long time before he even understood the words they were saying and could interpret them. It would have taken him even longer to learn how to reproduce those words and those sounds and speak. And even longer yet before his speech was clear and understandable. When Jesus gave hearing to the man, he didn't just give him the sense of hearing, but he also gave him understanding to hear those words. Jesus did not just give him his hearing, but he set things right, just as if this man had been able to hear and speak his entire life. It's by the power of the word that Jesus creates, and his creation is very good. It's by the power of his word that Jesus healed, and his healing was complete. And it is by the power of the word that Jesus saves, and his salvation is eternal. The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to explain the connection between salvation and the word of God as he wrote this in the book of Romans. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The word of Christ speaks to a faith that doesn't even yet exist and brings it into being. And it is that faith that receives the eternal salvation that Jesus earned on the cross. There is yet another way that we see the power of God's word working in today's gospel. This time it is the power of God's word in the mouth of other people. How did the friends know that Jesus was able to heal this deaf man? Jesus didn't spend a whole lot of time in Gentile territory. But somehow, someone, somewhere had shared the word of God with these people. Somehow the story of Jesus had reached all the way up to Tyre and Sidon. Somehow the story of Jesus had reached all the way to the area of the Decapolis. Even if it was only a neighborhood rumor, the Holy Spirit still used the word of God to cause these friends to bring that deaf man to Jesus. And that's the same reason all of us are here in this building today, because of the power of the word of God. Faithful brothers and sisters shared the word of God with friends and sons and daughters. From mouth to ear, across the land, down through the generations, the word of God spread, and the Holy Spirit used that word to work faith in those who hear it. Eventually, the power of the word came to even your ear. And that is why we're here in this place. That's why we're here, to receive the gifts that Jesus purchased for us with his holy and precious body and blood and his innocent suffering and death. The Holy Spirit eliminates barriers with the word and tells us of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. As the Holy Spirit works through the word, we learn that our sin separates us from God. But Jesus' sacrifice on the cross takes away our sin. We learn that his resurrection from the dead opens up the way to everlasting life. Through the word, Christ reveals himself to us. In that revelation, he also shows us the Father and the Holy Spirit and shows us God's way of salvation. The Holy Spirit uses this knowledge to make that salvation personal through his gift of faith. When the Holy Spirit joins the word to the water in holy baptism, he joins us with Christ in his crucifixion. By joining us to the death of Christ, the Holy Spirit also joins us to his resurrection. We become brothers of Christ, and we become sons of God. We have the right and the privilege to come before God now and confess our sins before him and receive the enduring comfort of that forgiveness which he won. We become heirs to eternal life with him. When the Holy Spirit joins the word with bread and wine, Jesus himself comes to us in the body and gives us his body and blood. As we take him into our mouths, he feeds our souls He strengthens our faith. He has promised us that this sacrament is ours for the forgiveness of sin. And with the forgiveness of sin comes life and life eternal. God's process for sustaining the church in this world is amazing. Just as friends brought this deaf man to Jesus, so God also works through his people to bring his word into our lives. He brings this word to our ears. He uses the wet words of holy baptism. He uses the word connected with the bread and wine at the Lord's table. The Holy Spirit works through his word to bring faith in us and to the entire church. Now that we have the word of God, we also have the authority to ask people to do what is impossible. We can tell people about Jesus and the work that he did to earn salvation for them. And we can even invite people and say to them, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Even though no one can believe in Jesus Christ by their own reason or strength, we trust in the promise of Christ that the Holy Spirit will work wherever the word is present. The Augsburg Confession expresses this very well when it says this: through the word and sacraments, as though instruments, the Holy Spirit is given. He works faith when and where it pleases God, and those who hear the good news that God justifies those that believe, that they are received into his grace for Christ's sake. This happens not through our merits, but for Christ's sake alone. As the Holy Spirit sustains us in the one true faith, he sends us into the world to confess the faith he has given us, and in this way, to spread his word through the world. As we confess our faith to family, to friends, to coworkers, and everyone else in our lives, he has promised that he will use even our confessions before others to deliver Christ. In this amazing and crazy way, the word of God still speaks to a faith that doesn't exist and brings it into being. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your words to this deaf and mute man in Mark 7. We thank you that your word is powerful and remains powerful. We thank you that you have used it to produce faith in us. God, use it now to strengthen our faith. Lord, as we get ready to go to your table, allow us to freely confess our sins before you and come to the table receiving your gifts and trusting that you have offered forgiveness there. Use it, Lord, to strengthen our faith, we pray. Amen.